Hey there, welcome back to 7-Minute Books. I'm Sam, and today we're cracking open Teen by David Allen and Edward Lamont. Sophie, you ready to talk about why the whole lone genius thing might be totally backwards?
Oh, I'm so ready. This book basically flips the script on everything we're taught about success. It's not about the heroic individual, it's about the collective. And honestly, that's such a relief.
Right? We grow up hearing about the brilliant CEO, the star athlete, the visionary founder. But Allen and Lamont say the real magic happens when people come together with purpose and trust.
Exactly. Their big idea is that a true team isn't just people working in the same room. It's a living system with its own intelligence, its own energy. And that collective intelligence can far exceed what any one person could do alone.
But here's the kicker. They say most organizations are full of what they call pseudo-teams. People who report to the same manager, maybe even collaborate on projects, but they never really click.
Yeah, pseudo-teams are marked by polite cooperation, unspoken tensions, and a fundamental lack of trust. And that's the enemy of real creativity.
So what's the fix? The book starts with this idea that teams are about relationships, not structures. We obsess over org charts, but the real work happens in the spaces between people.
And that's where psychological safety comes in. It's an environment where you can take risks, disagree, ask questions, admit mistakes, without fear of punishment or humiliation.
It's not just about being nice, though. It's about being able to speak the truth and see conflict as creative energy, not a threat.
Yes. And that leads to one of my favorite distinctions in the book, the difference between cooperation and collaboration.
Okay, break that down for me.
Cooperation is dividing tasks and coordinating efforts to get things done. It's valuable, but it's not the same as collaboration, which is when the team generates something that no individual could have produced alone.
The book uses a great analogy. Cooperation is like a group of musicians, each playing their part correctly. Collaboration is like a jazz ensemble improvising together, creating something alive and unexpected.
Exactly. And many teams settle for cooperation when they could be achieving collaboration.
So what makes a high-performing team? The book points to a few key elements. First, clarity of purpose. Everyone knows not just what they're doing, but why. And the authors say most teams operate with a surprising lack of that.
Yeah. People show up, do their tasks, go home, and never have a real conversation about what the team is trying to accomplish and why it matters.
Then there's mutual accountability. Not top-down, but organic. If someone's not pulling their weight, the team addresses it directly with honesty and respect.
And that requires trust and emotional maturity, which they give practical strategies for building.
Third is constructive conflict. This one really got me. They argue conflict isn't a sign that something's wrong. It's a sign that something's right.
Because teams that avoid conflict avoid the difficult conversations needed for growth. High performers embrace it. They challenge each other's assumptions, but respectfully, focused on the issue, not the person.
And leadership? They're all about servant leadership. The leader's job is to create the conditions for the team to succeed, remove obstacles, foster safety, and then get out of the way.
That's hard for people used to being in charge, but it's essential for unlocking the team's potential.
Now, they also get into the nitty-gritty of communication. Meetings, feedback, decisions. They recommend things like starting meetings with a check-in, using structured decision-making, and creating regular opportunities for reflection.
Small things, but they have a huge impact on performance and morale.
And diversity. They make the point that diverse teams have more potential, but they often struggle more because of communication challenges. The key is inclusion, actively seeking out and valuing different perspectives.
Yeah, it's not enough to just have diversity. You have to create an environment where everyone feels safe to contribute.
There's also this great concept of team health. Just like our bodies, teams need regular exercise, proper nutrition, and rest. That means retreats, assessments, and ongoing conversations about what's working.
And they warn against focusing only on task performance and neglecting team health. That's a recipe for burnout and decline.
One of the most provocative ideas is that teams have a developmental trajectory. They go from forming and storming to norming and performing, and eventually to transforming.
Transforming is that highest level where the team can reinvent itself and adapt with speed and grace. It's rare, but they give a roadmap.
And they're honest about when a team just isn't working. Sometimes you have to acknowledge the reality and make changes, even disband a team. Persisting out of loyalty is unfair to everyone.
The real-world examples are so powerful. There's this story about a hospital emergency room that was struggling with medical errors and low morale. They brought in a consultant who focused on building the team, communication, trust, and psychological safety.
And the results were dramatic. Medical errors dropped, staff satisfaction improved, patient outcomes got better. It shows that team building can transform even the most challenging environments.
Then there's the basketball team full of stars who underperformed. The coach realized the problem wasn't talent, it was a lack of team. He worked on building relationships and trust, and they started winning.
Talent alone is not enough. That's a lesson for all of us.
They even tackle remote work. Technology can enable collaboration, but it can also be a barrier to genuine connection. They emphasize intentional communication, regular video calls, and periodic in-person meetings.
An emotional side. Teams aren't just rational, they're emotional. Feelings of trust, respect, belonging, that's not soft stuff. It's essential for high performance.
When people feel emotionally safe, they take risks and share ideas. When they feel threatened, they withdraw, and the team suffers.
The book ends with a vision of what's possible. The best teams create a sense of belonging, challenge members to grow, and contribute to something larger than any individual.
It's a hopeful book, but also practical. It's for anyone who's been on a team that worked and wants to recreate that, or been on one that didn't and wants to understand why.
You know, the takeaway for me is that being a great team member isn't about being the smartest person in the room. It's about building trust, embracing conflict, and creating an environment where everyone can do their best work.
And if you want to dive deeper into team or explore other books on teamwork and leadership, the whole library is over at 7minutebooks.com/app. You get over 6,000 fiction and nonfiction titles you can read or listen to in any language. And it's just $2.99 a month, $9.99 a year, or $19.99 for lifetime access. In the end, team reminds us that we're not meant to go it alone. The greatest achievements come from people working together with purpose, trust, and mutual respect. We'll see you in the next one.